good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss Native issues and events here on Native Roots Radio. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Wild. They are celebrating Native American Heritage Day on Friday, November 26th, when they host the Winnipeg Jets.
The Wild will appear in special Native American Heritage jerseys during the warm-ups.
And you could bid on those jerseys from November 26th through December 6th at wild.com/online auctions. Proceeds will go towards the Minnesota Wild Foundation.
T-shirt jerseys that featured Dakota Indian designs will be given to the first 5,000 fans.
You could purchase a special Native American Heritage Day ticket package with a portion of the ticket sales donated back to the Lower Fallon Creek Project. Log on to wild.com/theme packages to purchase.
Wow, Wendy, so it's just you and me again, just like the old days of Pilot's Progressive Party.
That's it. You and me against the world.
Yeah, Ogama's not able to make it with us. And we talked a little bit about switching up the news a little bit. Mm-hmm. But of course, we're going to have Dr. Stately on later and talk about doctor stuff, medical stuff. And yeah. Then... I don't know. You guys can give us a call, but I thought it was kind of interesting what we watched last night on network television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we watched on 60 Minutes a program, and it was talking about reimagining police departments with safety and justice in mind. And if people want to call us and talk to us about that, give us a call. But basically, what they're doing is taking a lot of the funds that were for the police, and they're putting it towards other things. Like they were saying, if people have housing, if they have food, if they have all the things that they need to live, then there'll be less problems and we won't need so many police. And that they also are hiring people and experts in mental health issues, in social work issues, so that when they do get a call, they could, you know, defer those non-emergency calls to those people.
I don't want to break into what you're saying, but it's when we had Hennepin County Sheriff Hutchinson on, mm-hmm. he talked about that as being one of his things, you know.
Yeah, his number one thing for his police department and his sheriffs and deputies to have good mental health care. And Philip Atiba Goff, who was really talking about this eloquently on the program, he's a professor of African American Studies with a PhD in psychology, and he's the CEO of the Center for Policing Equity, which analyzes police data, 911 calls, arrests, and traffic stops to help cities reduce racial disparity and use the use of force. And Las Vegas was one example, but they were also using this in Austin, Texas. And they're finding out that he was saying something like, you know, 99% of the calls that come into 911 are non-emergency calls.
You know, he also said that in Las Vegas, they thought we might be using too much force. And he said, why do you think that? And he said, because our community tells us. And that's a good indication that he was saying, too. And
that the police are using too much force.
Yeah. Well, also the disparities of who's being pulled over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that escalates because we had brown and yellow and black people being pulled over for lights and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they stopped doing that
right.
for everyone, and it really de-escalated a lot of things.
Exactly. So Philip Atiba Golf, so literally, this is what he said. So literally, they started training their police officers. You're high on adrenaline, you slow it mm-hmm. down, you count to 10, you don't touch the person till the backup shows up, and they dropped their use of force by 23% the next month, and it stayed low, and it became a national model for training in foot pursuits.
You know, what's interesting, Wendy, too, is as being a former high school teacher mm-hmm. for almost 30 years, I could see and sense people that were de-escalators.
Mm-hmm.
There was always some people,
teachers or hall
administration
monitor.
Okay. Or somebody yep. mm-hmm. that would come in ready for bear, you know, to hunt bear or something. That's a different segment during our show. But, you know, and I've seen people and learned from people over the years how to de-escalate.
Mm, it's
and
so
what
important.
Kids you thought, oh, this is a troublemaker kid. And then you see people that look like them definitely, you know, de-escalated,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, I think, again, Sheriff Hutch talked a lot about this when he'd be on our show. And you know what's really weird?
Mm-hmm.
He's calling in.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love this. I just want to say this one thing before we go to Sheriff Dave Hutch. In Berkeley, California, Goff, he's the PhD and the professor, found the largest racial bias was in low-level traffic stops like broken taillights. So what do? They stopped enforcing minor violations.
Right, exactly.
You know, just...
Well, we only got 3 minutes of this segment. Why don't we greet Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Well, Native Roots is where it all started for me, and look at you guys now. You guys are awesome. I miss you incredibly.
Yeah, we miss you too. We haven't seen you.
I especially miss Wendy.
Yeah.
I especially miss you too, Dave. You
She's
know, it's
a pretty one.
Thank
God.
It's been too long, and a lot has happened, and it's been a crazy couple of years here.
But we were just talking about we saw a 60-minute show last night about almost what you ran on and what you've been doing with de-escalating and mental health, both as officers and bringing mental health experts in when it's needed. And do you want to just we got only a couple minutes here, maybe we can cross over, but talk a little bit about what's happening in Hennepin County and what you've been doing.
Well, I think people know now that the better funded police and deputies and our EMS and our fire service are, the better service they give. It's just like if you go to McDonald's versus Manny's, you get better service, but it costs money. That's a big comparison, but in the county board approved a lot of money for it's the Maple Grove Training Facility for an addition to it, which Hennepin County have a big stake in. But guess what the number one thing we're going to work on? We're going to work on de-escalation.
Yeah.
Number two is going to be reality-based training where the system is so smart, way smarter than I am, we can change the suspect from different races, different genders, different religions, whatever. So the suspects change, the witness change, and if we see costs to have, you know, implicit bias, which we all have, unfortunately, because we all watch the same TV and listen to the same news and play the same video game, so it's ingrained in cops. But when we put this uniform on, it can't be. It's about protecting and serving everybody. I don't care what you look like, what you make for money, who you love, what religion you subscribe to. You deserve the very best public safety, and this training facility in Maple Grove is gonna be that. It's gonna be one of the best in the nation. And so other cities like Minneapolis need to invest in public safety, hire the best cops, train the best cops, make sure they treat everybody the same, and all these low-level stuff that you talk about. As soon as we diversify the agency, like we have in Hennepin County, Sheriff's Office, we've increased diversity by a ton. In fact, the last two classes were the most diverse classes in Hennepin County Sheriff's Office history, and I'm very proud of that. So those small violations, when we have different cops that are from the same neighborhoods, you know, who know how people are, it's going to be less problematic. We have to get back to the old adage of everybody, it's the same. I don't care what you look like or who you love, but just being a good person. But at the same token, we have to stop violent crime. Violent crime is plaguing our nation right now. We have to hold people accountable.
Hey, Dave, do you have a second to come on after this break?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact RobbinsKaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Biju, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Wild. They're celebrating Native American Heritage Day on Friday, November 26th, when they host the Winnipeg Jets.
Hey, the Wild will wear a special Native American Heritage jersey warm-ups.
And you could bid on those jerseys from November 26th to December 6th at wild.com/online auctions. Proceeds will go towards the Minnesota Wild Foundation.
T-shirt jerseys that feature Dakota Indian designs will be given to the first 5,000 fans.
Purchase a special Native American Heritage Day ticket package with a portion of the ticket sales donated back to the Lower Failing Creek Project. Log on to wild.com/themepacks to purchase.
Awesome. Hey, you gave me the easy lines, Wendy.
But
before we get back to Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, we just got to give a special shout out to our trading post, Native Roots Radio Trading Post at the Dayton Center in downtown Minneapolis. It's going gangbusters, Wendy.
It is. 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis. We're open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6 and Sunday from
noon.
12 to 5.
Yeah, and we're natives helping natives and artists all over Turtle Island. So when you go to our store, there'll be native things and native artists made and everything like
that. It's really beautiful stuff. Check it out.
Hey, let's get back to Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson. It's really exciting to have Dave on.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we were talking, Wendy, is health is everything.
Right.
You know?
Mental health, physical health, it's all something that we all need. And Dave, I just want to, and I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds, but I want to congratulate you. You look fantastic.
Oh, thank you. I'm just trying to look like you two, slim and trim. But yeah, I'm down about 50 pounds from...
How much?
50 from about 6 months ago. So
that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling better?
I can fit into normal size clothes now, so it's nice.
That is. You look great. And, you know, that's part of the mental health, though, because Wendy and I were kind of talking during the commercial, and it's like, wow, you sound better, too. You not only do you look good, but you sound better, too.
Well, thank you for saying that. So, again, this goes back to the Triwamas. I asked people to Google Hennepin County Sheriff's Triwamas. So mind, body, and spirit. Mind, we got to make sure that we're of sound mind. So I'll use the adjective, two unhealthy people at a call is going to result in chaos. A healthy police officer, deputy, and somebody who's suffering from mental health crisis is going to go a lot better. So we got to make sure our staff is well taken care of so they can help people. Then body, of course, the, you know, I'm never going to be on a swimsuit magazine. I'll never be that.
You never know. You never know. I think you're on your way.
But I just want to be healthier because I want to be able to be happier. I want to serve the people. You know, during the unrest, I gained a lot of weight, and I just felt crappy, and it's my service suffered. So, again, we're going to make sure our deputies on the street, our cops on the street are physically, emotionally, spiritually taken care of. We have chaplains. We're adding a financial planning institution of this, too. Because we have to keep care of the people who take care of us. I don't care what it takes. Our peacekeepers, our guardians, need to be taken care of so they can serve the people to the best of their ability, and we can get to a happier, safer community.
Right, exactly. Well, we want to say thank you for giving us a ring here and helping us out. We usually start out with the beginning of the news, and we wanted to talk a little bit about that, and it's so great that you hopped on and gave us a quick shout out, because you're doing great work, and we know you as a great person, and so it's great for us here to support you
and a strong
I love you too. You're the best people I've ever met, and you started my radio, you know, when we first started long ago, and you know, I love you too, and it tells you, you know, I have not been perfect through this last thing. This is now campaign hutch. But I would like another 4 years to do a lot of the stuff that we haven't had time to do. I love this profession. We need to evolve. We need to be better, and we need both sides. I don't care, you know, of course, I'm a DFLer, but if you're not, we all want the same. Everybody wants to feel safe. Nobody wants to see officers like Derek Chauvin on the streets. He, you know, he's where he belongs, but at the same token, 99% of cops are doing the right things for the right reasons a lot of the time, and we got to praise them and hold them close to our hearts because we need them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we talk about, I mean, the old saying, and I'm old, Dave, is, you know, one bad apple spoils a whole bunch, but the perception out there, too. So we know you, and we know where your heart is, and I'm sure 90% of your officers, or probably even 99% of your deputies, feel the same way as you do.
Yeah, and the ones that don't feel the same way, this is about service, helping people. The ones that don't, you know, get the heck out of that profession. I don't want you here. I want good people to do the right things. And we'll eventually weed those people out. But, you know, we're always hiring, too. So come change the profession from within.
Wow. Thanks again for so much for stopping in. It's so great to hear your voice. And
I love you guys. Seriously. No joke.
Yeah. No joke. Let's get together for dinner, you and Justin and us.
Yeah, definitely.
As the kids say now, 100, right?
What's that?
What?
As the kids say, 100 means 100%.
Oh, hey. I'm not hip anymore.
Robert retired from high school, so he doesn't know what the kids are saying anymore. But he used to come home with all kinds of slang that they were saying.
I was cool at one time, but not even close now. But Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, Peeny Geegee, for being on and checking in with us. Let's make this a habit here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you guys are too big time for me. So anytime I'm on.
I don't know about that, but great talking to you, and we'll let's make this thing happen again and check in. Peeny Geegee, for all you do for Hennepin County and your sheriffs and your deputies.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Well, that was really cool.
Yeah, we love Dave. He's been a good friend of ours, and we know that he's a good guy. And
he's not, like you said, he's not perfect. There's stuff that's gone down that, you know, we all need to work on, and we're not perfect. And you know, remember who he beat in the election. Just imagine if that person was sheriff during all this stuff the last couple of years, Wendy. Oh, my God.
It would have been horrific. So, yeah, we wish Dave the best. Mm-hmm. Always pray for his safety and his deputy's safety. So.
Well, we got, you know, Dr. Stately coming on next, and we kind of want to talk about mental health and, and what's going on COVID-wise, but why don't we switch it up a little bit here with the next few minutes we have here, Wendy, and talk a little bit, you know, lighten it up a little with
Some, what do you want to talk about?
With some animal news.
Oh, you want to talk about some animal news? Yeah, I have an article here that I'm really excited about. Let me just bring it up here. But so the infrastructure package that President Biden signed has $1.3 trillion in investing in let me start over again. So the $1.3 trillion Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act signed into law a few days ago by President Biden includes wins for wild animals and biodiversity. Isn't that awesome?
That's really awesome.
It is great. The act includes a bounty of measures benefiting wildlife, and one of its highlights is a historic allocation of $350 million for grants to mitigate human-wildlife conflict and vehicle collisions through enhanced animal-friendly infrastructures and overpasses and underpasses across the United States. We made this funding, we meaning HSUS, and I am reading from Kitty Block's blog called The Humane, what is it here? It just went off my screen. The Humane World. So we want to make sure that we give her a shout out because she wrote this. And HSUS did lobby for money for this specific using this money for these underpasses and overpasses, because we all know that so many animals and humans have these horrific wildlife vehicle collisions, and they really have a lot of really bad outcomes. All too often, large-scale infrastructure projects have produced bad results for wildlife and other animals. We hope that this package, the nation's largest conservation investment since the New Deal, signs the beginning of a new era in which the United States prioritizes animal welfare and conservation as it conceives and develops its major infrastructure initiatives. We already know that wildlife crossings, whether in the form of a spacious tree-lined overpass or tunnels, can strengthen habitat connectivity, reduce the incidence of fatal accidents that claim human and animal lives, and ensure the mitigation opportunities and genetic diversity of countless wildlife species. Currently, there are about 1,000 such wildlife passages across the United States, 4 million-mile road networks, and more are urgently needed. Roadkill rates have been steadily rising over the last half century. So with these overpasses and underpasses, we're going to have a lot less collisions.
Yeah.
People will be saved, as well as wildlife.
It's so interesting, Wendy. I thought it was a myth when I saw those on Facebook.
They are. And you know what? Animals are really smart, and they learn really fast how to use them. It's amazing.
Maybe they can do my taxes.
Exactly. I know. We'll get some deer. They have some wild, the cams that watch the animals go past on these overpasses and underpasses. You could find them on YouTube. They're pretty wild to watch.
Wow. Hey, great segment as always. It's great to hear from Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson. Up next, Dr. Stately.
He is the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis.
Stay with us.
Bonjour, relatives. My name is Deanna Sandycloud. I'm from the Red Lake Nation, and I live in Minneapolis today. As the weather gets colder, you're probably going to spend more time indoors, but it's important to stay safe and healthy. The COVID-19 pandemic is still not over. And now the flu season is upon us. So protect you and your loved ones by getting vaccinated against both the flu and COVID-19. COVID booster shots have now been approved for Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And you're eligible if you're over 65 and if you're over 18 and have underlying health conditions or work in a high-risk setting. What's cool is your booster shot does not need to be of the same brand as your original series of shots. And you can receive a booster shot of any brand that's available to you. Children over the age of 5 are now eligible for a vaccine as well. So let's protect our relatives in Indian Country this winter and get vaccinated. Be a vaccinative like me. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. Niigwech bizindawiyen.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian Country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact robbinskaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of The Bradcast. We'll expose and make sense of all of our current political nightmares and more every weeknight at 7 on AM 950.
Shop Minnesota's biggest in-stock selection of appliances at Warner Stellion. Show off your unique style and save 10% on an innovative LG suite before our extra 5% rebate. Trust our specialists in your home with free delivery in Holloway done right. Buy smart and open a Warner's card to earn up to a $100 bonus. Then pay no interest for 18 months. Save an extra 5% on thousands of in-stock appliances. Shop our 10 Minnesota stores or buy now at warnerstellion.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Clearing skies tonight with a low of 33, then sunshine warming up to 50 degrees on Tuesday. Take a break from that holiday cooking by visiting one of our fabulous Eat Local Minnesota restaurants. Find the list of Eat Local Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Wild, are celebrating Native American Heritage Day on Friday, November 26th. I was hoping I could do this read one time through without stuttering, but it's not going to happen. When they host the Winnipeg Jets.
Hey, the Wild will wear special Native American Heritage jerseys during the warm-ups.
And you could bid on those jerseys from November 26th through December 6th. That's my birthday, by the way.
Oh.
At wild.com/online auctions. And proceeds will go to the Minnesota Wild Foundation.
T-shirt jerseys that featured Dakota Indian design will be given to the first 5,000 fans.
Purchase a special Native American Heritage Day ticket package with a portion of the ticket sales donated back to the Lower Failing Creek Project. You could log on to wild.com/themepacks to purchase.
Hey, Wendy, that was a long read. Dr. Stately's.
I like when we get to, record it so then I could like fix my mistakes. But yeah. This is live reads here.
We're with Dr. Anthony Stately, CEO at Native American Community Clinic. Welcome, Dr. Stately. And thank you for letting me sit at your table a few days ago. I really wanted that vanilla cheesecake that you stole from me. I'm still kind of a little messed up. I was crying to Wendy when I got home.
Yeah, it's the first thing he told me.
Wow. Well, you know, I did tell him, I explained to him, like, I love chocolate. And, you know, in my culture, when you invite somebody to your home or to your table, you give them, like, what you love. And you offer it up. So that's what I did.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, the Italians do the same thing.
Good one.
Anyway, sounds good, right?
Yeah, that Wendy bought it. It sounds like Wendy bought it. She's like saying Italians do it too. Like, geez. But that was, hey, do you want to talk a little bit about that? That was magical. And I guess you're a board member too, but I was kind of concerned about why we were almost way back in the kitchen if you're a board member in their seats.
Well, I mean, being a board member, I'm not really a board member per se. That event was the Native Rise event, and I think it's like the third time that the American Indian OIC and Dakota Institute has held that initiative, and that event. It's third time, because I've been to two other ones, but I think they usually typically been doing it like every year, but they took a couple of years off because of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that the intent is for us to come together and as a group of urban American Indian serving organizations or led organizations like ours to sort of like demonstrate for the broader community. So we invited philanthropy and people in leadership in state government and a bunch of other sort of folks who normally might not know who we are and the work we do. It's kind of our opportunity to like tell them a little bit about who we are and showcase our work, the work that we've done over the last couple of years, and to demonstrate, you know, the value that we give, not just to the Native community, but to the broader community as well, right? And this year, it's really important because we launched this thing called an initiative called the Urban Indigenous Legacy Initiative. And in that initiative, we have 16 Native-led, Native-run organizations that serve the urban Indian community. And we are going to the state legislature for a pretty, it's not a huge ask. It's not insignificant, but it's also not huge in relationship to like how much money has come into the state through the ARPA fund, which is the American Rescue Plan funding. But we're asking for the legislature and the state and other folks in leadership to make an investment in helping our crumbling infrastructure, because we are the foundational.
Oh, you just froze up a little bit there, but it was an awesome. Oh, there you go. You're back. It was awesome, too. I saw all the politicians and also the keynote speaker. Well, there was a couple speakers, and I think one of the things that we always have to remind our audience, and I have to remind myself how important it is to have somebody like Peggy Flanagan as Lieutenant Governor, mm-hmm. and getting these initiatives moved on, you know, with the other legislators too, but to have her there really pushing things in a good way.
Yeah, advocating for, you know, our community, but also like, I think one of the things I always like to try to remind like her and other legislators. We had other people there too. We had, you know, our first Native senator, Mary
Kunish
was there. reminding her and her colleagues and other folks who sort of have influential power in policy and governance, the value that we provide as organizations isn't just to our own community. We're part of the broader community of the Twin Cities and also the broader community of the state of Minnesota. We named it the Legacy Initiative because Minnesota has, and Minneapolis, particularly in South Minneapolis, has been, a focal point, a center point for a lot of really, historically, a lot of really great Native initiatives that had sort of kind of got their birth in South Minneapolis and then proliferated all over the United States, right? Mm-hmm. So, American Indian Movement started here, Indian Education started here, Urban Indian Health started here. One of the first Urban Indian Health clinics was started in Minneapolis. A lot of the other big movements that sort of everybody enjoys, Indian Child Welfare Act sort of kind of started and got their mm-hmm. beginnings here, their humble beginnings in Minneapolis. So we have a rich legacy of really doing transformative grassroots organizing and work, mm-hmm. and that's an important legacy to preserve, not just for us as the Native community, but it should be something that the state of Minnesota is really proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you put it that way too, I think one of the things I was thinking when you talk about these groups that are groundbreaking, that have been around, and other people, other communities are not copying, but bringing them on after us, we're still strong in those. And that's what's really exciting when you were naming those. I'm going, yeah, we're still doing it after quite a few years. And, it's time to expand it and fix and shine and get things going for our community again, to re-up those monies to get things happening. And Wendy's laughing at me because I'm like all over the place here right now, but hey, what I mean.
Well, yeah. I was talking to a legislator last week about some of this, and I said, the reality of it is we do the work that the city and the county and the state can't do. They can't mm-hmm. do it. They don't have the know-how. They don't have the will or the know-how or the strategies, or they don't know the community well enough to do the work we do. We serve our community, and we provide a great service to the state and to the county and to the local jurisdictions. So we're a critical part of the infrastructure. So make that investment and help us be here for the next 40, 50 years so that we can help the future generations to be as successful as we have.
Right.
That's our requirement. That's what we're called to do as Indigenous people, is to leave a legacy for our future generations.
Exactly. And you're not a supplement. You are the community clinic, you're not a supplemental thing where you go there if you don't, want to go somewhere else. You guys do, and the other organizations too, aren't a supplement mm-hmm. organization per se.
Yeah. I'm glad you were able to come. It was a really nice event.
Yeah, I mean, I had some work to do out in the hallway with my community, but I got in there in time for it. But that was awesome, and I was originally going to be with Maggie Lorenz's group, but she wasn't up feeling well, and so it was really cool that I snuck in on your group, and I got a vegan meal too.
Yeah, you got a vegan meal. Couldn't have planned that better, right? So
right. I was definitely, it was the second thing after I got home and told Wendy that you stole my dessert, was the second thing I told her was that, hey, I got a vegan meal and it was really good.
Yeah.
And
so well, I don't think the cheesecake was vegan, so I was saving you really.
And the food was from the Owamni by sous chef in Minneapolis. Has really great Native American food.
No, but he was the speaker.
Oh, he was the speaker?
Yeah, he was the speaker. The food wasn't actually done by him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was like, we couldn't have him stepping up and also speaking.
Hey, the master of ceremonies is back in the kitchen. He'll be out in a minute, or the
exactly. He'll be here plating your food in any minute and talking.
There you go. Oh my gosh.
Well, he had an interesting story too about commodes, and I don't know if that's just a Native joking thing, but if our allies know about that, but just showing that can of beef and gravy just
made me... commodes. Yeah. I love the label on it. It said beef with juices on it. I was like, wow, that's doesn't really articulate what kind of juice. It just says beef with juices.
Yeah, and that's we wonder why, you know, we have diabetes and things like that.
And all kinds of other health conditions, right? So
exactly.
When your primary entree comes out of a can,
right?
With no label on it, just has a black and white label that just says beef with juices on it.
I bet you there's a lot of salt in there.
Oh my God. I'm sure there's like, you know, enough.
The daily allowance times five.
Yeah. I'm sure there's enough sodium there to feed like a small village, you know.
Yeah. Well, and his restaurant is amazing. We have to go again, Wendy.
Yeah, definitely.
We snuck in there without reservations. Ooh.
Well, we sat outside. How did you make that happen? A nice time.
I told him I knew Dr. Stately, and they said, "Okay, well, you can sit outside."
That's funny. Did you crash the the outdoor, the patio, not the patio,
yes.
But the lawn.
Yeah. The lawn. Yes. Yeah. We were at the lawn. Yeah.
But
yes.
You know, Wendy is concerned because, like I'm old. So it's like, I always, eat at weird times. So when we went to eat, it was like just the kitchen just opened.
At 4 o'clock.
Yeah, so they snuck us in and got to talk to Sean.
Too. Yeah. If you get there, Owamni in, Minneapolis, if you get there when they just open at 4 o'clock, you could get like a first come first serve, and they seat you around the reservations so that we were able to sit
but
down.
But don't food, tell anybody that.
I won't tell anybody, but the food was just, it was really delicious. And something that you never, ever had before. It was fantastic.
Hey, Dr. Stately, can you hold on for another segment?
Absolutely.
Okay, hey, we'll be right back. It's Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Calusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Wild. They are celebrating Native American Heritage Day on Friday, November 26th, when they host the Winnipeg Jets.
Hey, the Wild will wear a special Native American Heritage jersey during warm-ups.
And you can bid on those jerseys from November 26th to December 6th at wild.com/online auctions, and proceeds will go towards the Minnesota Wild Foundation.
T-shirt jerseys that feature Dakota Lakota Indian design will be giving to the first 5,000 fans.
Purchase a special Native American Heritage Day ticket package with a portion of the ticket sales donated back to the Lower Failing Creek Project.
That's
Log
awesome.
On to wild.com/theme packs to purchase. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh. All right, Dr. Stately. Hey, we're finishing up the show here. We have had a rock'em sock'em show today with Dr. Stately, CEO at Native American Community Clinic. And it's always good. And you notice, Dr. Stately, I read that, so I'm not calling you something else. So I'm being careful here.
Yeah, good job. Yeah. Got to get the title right.
That's right. Hey, so let's segue a little bit about what's going on here. Minnesota is number one again. They not only beat the Packers, but now we're number one in COVID.
Oh, my gosh, man. Got to love that winning spirit that Minnesota has, man. They love to be in first place with all kinds of stuff. But unfortunately, it's oftentimes something that doesn't make a lot of sense, or it's not necessarily the best, number one in the best sort of in the best lane, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
our hospitals are overrun. There's hardly any beds, ICU beds available for people who are getting, you know, sick. If you have a heart attack today, I'm kind of anxious for you. Hopefully you have somebody at home who has AED and also knows CPR. But also maybe a family member who's a heart doctor, because there are no beds available in our state or little to no beds available for emergency services or ER services, because we are so overrun with COVID cases, which is a very sad situation.
It is really sad, but you know, I don't hear it on the news enough. I don't hear it on the radio enough. I mean, I just feel like people are out and about, like, you know, they're vaccinated and maybe they're even boosted, you know, but people aren't wearing their masks and they're just out there living life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hear it on the radio once in a while, at least a couple times a day. They did the COVID every Monday. Or every day on NPR, they're usually talking about it. I think the biggest challenge is I know the governor just issued an emergency declaration to sort of have Minnesota National Guard nursing come in and kind of help with nursing homes where they're seeing outbreaks again, and then also help with the relief for medical teams at like two of the largest safety net hospitals, Hennepin County, I think, and also I forget which hospital I was going to say Sauk Center, but it's not Sauk Center. It's what do you call it? I'll think about it in a minute.
Yeah. It'll come to you just before
it'll
you
come to me.
Have dinner.
But tonight, I think one of the things that I just want to say really quickly to try to remind all of our listeners is like how critical and how important it is for us to be, you know, encouraging people in our families, the people we know, the people we love who are our friends, our families, our relatives, all over Turtle Island to get them vaccinated, right? You know, the evidence is really clear that like if you don't have a vaccine, that you are much more vulnerable than somebody who had a vaccine to getting seriously ill and hospitalized and dying. And that's we're seeing a lot of folks end up in the hospital in the ICU, and all of that could be prevented, right? Could be prevented with the vaccine. So I know at least two or three young people who've died over the last couple of weeks.
That's so sad. I know I was in the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day parade in 2014, and so my ears perked up when they announced that they're not having any young people on any floats this year. I mean, they're taking it serious.
Wow, I didn't hear that. That's something.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we have to protect not only our elders and people that aren't unvaccinated, but, you know, our young, vulnerable ones that aren't getting vaccinated that are young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a little baffling to me. Like, you know, I mean, I am a parent of young children. I have 14-year-olds who are in high school. You know, they did all of last year. Just
frozen. But I think he was saying his kids went distance learning.
Go ahead.
You froze for a sec.
Oh no, I was just like parents who want their children to be able to continue to go to school, they have to do their part. Everybody has to do their part. Otherwise, you have huge outbreaks. Like in Shakopee, which is the city right over from Prior Lake where I live, they closed their school for 9 days.
Wow.
Starting last week, so. Because they're just trying to avoid having to shut down the entire school and go virtual. They have had so many outbreaks in that school, in that school system.
Wow.
You know, there's just people who have their, you know, heels in the ground and they're just not going to get vaccinated no matter what. And I mean, the unvaccinated are causing us to continue with this. You know, I mean, if everyone got vaccinated, the virus wouldn't have anywhere to go and it would just peter out and, you know, go away. Mm-hmm. But since it has hosts, even though there are breakthrough cases, if everyone was vaccinated, we wouldn't have the, you know, our hospitals wouldn't be full. There would be beds available, you know.
I think that's the thing that people really sort of need to try to understand a little bit better is, like, you know, there's only so much bandwidth within each hospital system for emergency services and urgent care, right? But if those services and those beds are taken up with, like, COVID cases, then, you know, you're not going to be able to, like, if you have a heart attack or you have some other type of emergency, you have a car accident, those kinds of things, and you need to be able to get into the hospital, like, and those beds are taken up with others, what would normally be healthy individuals. It really is putting a strain on the entire system, like, right? So everybody else sort of kind of downstream ends up having sort of like no opportunities to benefit from healthcare. And I think the other thing that's really important is, like, just, you know, recognizing that breakthrough cases are less than 1% of the entire cases, all of the new cases, like, mm-hmm. less than 1%, like something like 0.57% of a, which is like less than half of a percent or around a half of a percent of new cases, mm-hmm. which is substantial, right? And it's, and then mm-hmm. even less cases that are actually serious that result in serious hospitalization, practically none. Those are really good odds. So
people really like to hang their hat on that. I wish I had a nickel for every time I've heard people go, well, they're breakthrough cases that are getting COVID. And I'm just going, well, they're not dying, mm-hmm. you know, if they're vaccinated, you know. The show is ending right now. but I really appreciate you and being on and doing your thing with us, keeping us all over Turtle Island here, you know.
Informed. We need to be informed, and we really appreciate you helping us do that.
Thank you. I'm going to encourage everybody to be a good relative and go get your vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of other people.
Perfect. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Dr. Stately, CEO at Native American Community Clinic. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier, stop line 3. Be a good relative and please get vaccinated.